I'm a cultural and theatre historian by the name of Julia. I recently crossed the floor from Cambridge University Education Faculty to Anglia Ruskin University English Department. That's meaningful in that the politics of that transition relate to why I came to Cambridge in the first place, which was a very interesting debate at Jesus College, in relation to which I became a member, about the relationship between these very issues. That is, which started in many ways from the premise that there is a class inequality enshrined in culture. That was the basis of it. And it influenced many discussions at the time about the discipline of English and, just as importantly, the nature of access of study to subjects in the arts and humanities, and whether new cohorts of students should be embraced by a changing curriculum and a radicalizing curriculum which matched with their experience, and an ever the long revolution, if you like, of the curriculum to match with the experience of widening participation from new groups of students from the post-war period onwards, as we've heard analysed. One of the advantages of going last is that other speakers have made a lot of important arguments already about the politics of this, the philosophy of this, the theatre of this, very important part of this. So that enables me to focus on two issues: the new universities and women, girls and women. What I'd like to say about girls and women is this: our future social and political opportunities have often rested on access to the study of the arts and humanities. I think Pete's absolutely right. This isn't to create a division with science, far from it. Despite some efforts to encourage girls and women to apply to study STEM subjects more widely, these disciplinary zones have often tended to operate more exclusionary practices, not always engaging rigorously with questions of system, infrastructure, and existing cultures. If the arts and humanities are endangered species, so is the future of girls' and women's education in this country. I think it's worth thought. But it has to be part of a broader argument. It can't, as with the new universities, we can't be marginalised again. It shouldn't need a new women's movement. It's part of the larger argument, as is the argument about the new universities. The new universities now, Michael's quite right about vocational training and so on, and the problematic evolution of the new universities. But now, I believe, it's arts and humanities that maintain the balance with vocational training and science in the new universities. You know, it's an equilibrium. If arts and humanities go from the new universities will not survive. Okay. Now, it's up to people here to make this as a generic argument. Again, you know, we can't marginalise, I don't believe, you know, teaching in both universities. We can't marginalise the new universities in this argument, because, this is what I'd like to finish with really, is that it undermines the credibility of the entire sector if we do. It undermines the credibility of higher education in this country if we do not articulate a common cause. And a lot of people, of course, have been doing this morning and know this. So the integrity of the entire, as well as the politics and economics, the integrity of the entire sector is at stake in this, unless we do this. And in a way, as many people have already brilliantly said, I can say this simply now after a morning like this, because the political argument has become absolutely obvious to us, hasn't it? That if we don't do this, we will revert to versions of elitist and exclusionary understanding and practices of culture, which will discriminate against the vast majority of this of the population. I was trying to come up with a neat and tidy idea about how far back in history and culture this would go. And I actually think it's further back than the 19th century, what we're talking about, in terms of the relationship between post-school education and culture. I think it goes further back than the 19th century, put in those rather simplistic terms. The new universities represent an extension of the principle of comprehensive education beyond schooling. That, to put it simply. They cannot afford financially or politically to sacrifice this principle or the concomitant practices which have grown up with it, which have accompanied the growth of higher education, particularly over the last 15 years. The crisis in the arts and humanities may well turn out to be about the very survival of the new universities, as I've said. And that, these arguments are politically integrated too. The expansion in terms of class and gender and racial ethnic groups, the argument is coherent of a piece. The easiest argument to make is to defend the arts and humanities in the Russell Group. That's the easiest argument to make. The most difficult argument to make is a defense of arts and humanities in relation to student participation in the sector as a whole. And I think before Leo shows me the red card, I will probably leave the field, but I wanted to just invert that wonderful image from earlier this morning, and I've asked permission for this citation, and hit you with my rhythm stick. Please don't get out of step with new universities in whatever argument you make. Thank you.